الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we take now بإذن الله تعالى القاعدة الرابعة القاعدة الرابعة the fourth principle the fourth principle with regards to the purification of the soul and the rectification of the heart and it is المتابعه والاقتداء بالنبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم that is to follow the noble prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and to take him as a role model absolutely and to take him as a role model absolutely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentioned in his book لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وذكر الله كثيرا that indeed you have in the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uswatun hasana the best role model the best example for those who truly hope in Allah and hoping for his reward and his mercy and hoping for his promise subhanahu wa ta'ala and likewise the last day for those who truly have hope in Allah and the last day لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ For those who truly hope in Allah and in the last day. And he hoping for the pleasure of Allah and the meeting of Allah in the last day and the great reward of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا And those who remember Allah often. And those who remember Allah in abundance. Ibn Kathir, رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned about this verse, هَذِهِ الْآيَةُ الْكَرِيمَةِ أَصْلٌ كَبِيرٌ فِي التَّأَسِّي بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي أَقْوَالِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ وَأَحْوَالِهِ وَلِهَذَا أُمِرَ النَّاسُ بِالتَّأَسِّي بِالنَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ That this noble verse here is a great principle. This noble verse here is a great principle, a great fundamental foundation in the religion. In the religion with regards to taking the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم as an example and role model in one's statements and actions and his circumstances and situations. And whatever condition he may be in. And whatever condition he may be in. And for this reason, the people have been ordered to make a ta'assi bin Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. A ta'assi bin Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have three words with regards to this affair. We can even say four. المتابعة والاتباع والاقتداء وَالتَّأَسِّي All of these words are very similar, the synonyms. المتابعة والاتباع, it means to follow. والاقتداء, it means to take as a قدوة. يعني to follow the footsteps precisely and take as a role model. وَالتَّأَسِّي has the same meaning as well. To follow and to take as an example and a role model. And this is the issue of this particular principle. And this is the meaning of the testification of faith. أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ That Muhammad is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني تصديقه فيما أخبر وطاعته فيما أمر واجتناب ما عنه نهى وزجر وألا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع صلى الله عليه وسلم that one he will testify to the truthfulness and belief and everything that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said and he will obey him in his commandments and he will obey him صلى الله عليه وسلم in his commandments and he will avoid and stay away from everything that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade and declared to be impermissible, and he will only worship Allah Azza wa Jal and the manner displayed by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-Sa'di rahimahullah, he mentioned about this, وَهَذِهِ الْأُسْوَةُ الْحَسَنَةُ إِنَّمَا يَسْلُكُهَا وَيُوَفَّقُ لَهَا مَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ That this best example, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this best example, meaning taking him seriously, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the best example. No one can truly traverse upon this path, nor given success to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, except for the one who has true hope in Allah and in the hereafter. And this is derived from this verse. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ For who? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ For those who have high hopes in Allah and the hereafter. And he hopes, and he from the mercy of Allah and the pleasure of Allah and the meeting of Allah in the hereafter. And those who truly have strong hope and desire to seek the pleasure of Allah and are making preparation for the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is they who will be given success to take the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a role model absolutely. As for the one who's weak in that hope or deficient in that faith, then he will not absolutely take the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his role model. So he says here, فَإِنَّ مَا مَعَهُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَخَوْفِ اللَّهِ وَرَجَاءِ ثَوَابِهِ وَخَوْفِ إِقَابِهِ يُحُثُّهُ عَلَى التَّأَسِّي بِالرَّسُولِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this individual here who is hoping, has great hope in Allah and hoping for the meeting of Allah, meaning he believes in Allah Azza wa Jal and he believes in the meeting of Allah. And this means likewise that he believes in the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah. And also he has knowledge of the pathways that lead to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's hoping for the reward of Allah. And he's hoping for the pleasure of Allah. Then this is the individual who be given success to take the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sincerely as his role model. And he will follow him absolutely in every circumstance and situation because of the faith that he has. His faith and his fear of Allah and his hope for the reward of Allah and his fear of the punishment of Allah will carry him to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently. Will carry him, the one who truly believes in Allah and he has a sincere and pure intention, hoping for the reward of Allah sincerely, truthfully, then he will leave his desires and he will follow the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is very clear. In this life, this is the test. We have desires and whims. They're called ahwa. Ahwa. There's desires and whims, many different avenues, many different aspects. And this is the plural, al-ahwa. The singular is hawa. So there's hawa, there's desires, there's whims. And the opposite of that is huda. And that's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. There's huda and there's hawa. The person is either going to follow the huda or he's going to be following the hawa. Either he's going to follow the huda, the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he's going to be following the desires and the whims of his soul and of the people wa liyadhu billah. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions to his Prophet in his book sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ يَا رَسُولُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they do not respond to you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, then you must know that they're only following their desires. So a person, he will be following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully and faithfully, inwardly and outwardly, in public and in private, or he will be following his desires. Or he will be following his desires. So to purify the soul, he must purify his soul from these desires and from these whims and from these lusts that are contrary to the legislation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the deen of Allah azza wa jal. To the deen of Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, قُلْ قُلْ يعني يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, say, and he said to the people, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, if you truly love Allah, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. And follow me, and then Allah will love you. Allahu Akbar, this verse is an amazing verse. This verse is an amazing verse, clarifying this obligation. Because anyone in his right mind, if he was asked the question, do you love Allah? Do you love the Creator, the Provider, and the Sustainer who is providing for your eyesight and every benefit and blessing that you have? Go back to the beginning, the first principle, to know Allah. To know Allah and that the favors and the blessings and the bounties are all from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that He has the attributes of perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, no deficiency whatsoever. He's alive and never dies, powerful and strong and never weak. He feeds and He's not fed. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're going to return back to Him. Do you love Allah? Do you love the one who created you and is providing for you all of the good that you have? One will say, yes, of course I love Allah. Of course I love Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests the people with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you truthful? Because it's easy to claim. Lip service is easy. And even every believer, no doubt about it, he loves Allah. He would never be a believer if he did not love Allah. So every believer, he loves Allah. And every believer, Allah loves him. But the love of the believers in their heart for Allah fluctuates, like their iman and their tawheed and their taqwa. The love of Allah in the heart of every believer, it varies. It varies. It varies in the same manner their iman and their tawheed and their taqwa varies. If the taqwa and the iman and the tawheed is strong, the love for Allah is strong. And if the tawheed and the iman and the taqwa is weak, then the love for Allah is weak. Walabud. Accordingly. And the sign for the authenticity and the truthfulness of a person in that is that he will take the Prophet Muhammad and nobody else. He will take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nobody else as his absolute role model. He will restrict himself to his sunnah and laws and illegal ways in every circumstance, every situation. He will follow the limits and the laws that were prescribed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You follow the limits and the laws, the manners and the etiquettes that were prescribed and revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regards to this noble verse, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a wonderful benefit. He mentions, هذه الآية الكريمة حاكمة على كل من ادعى محبة الله وليس هو على الطريقة المحمدية فإنه كاذب في دعواه في نفس الأمر حتى يتبع الشر المحمدي والدين النبوي في جميع أقواله وأحواله. That this noble verse here is a judge ruling against every person who claims to love Allah. This verse right here is a judge ruling against every person who claims to love Allah and he is not following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because in reality he's lying at the same time. Claiming that he loves Allah, but he's not following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In reality, at that same statement, he's lying. وَكَاذِبٌ فِي دَعْوَهُ فِي نَفْسِ الْأَمْرِ. And he's lying. He's not being truthful until he follows the legislation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prophetic deen and religion that was revealed to him in all of his statements and all of his circumstances and situations. He says, كَمَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, just as it has been affirmed in the authentic narrations referring to the hadith of Aisha, and with the word here is Sahih Muslim, عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that the messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدْ, that whoever does a deed and it's not in accordance to our affair, and he ليس عليه ديننا, not in accordance to our deen. ليس عليه أمرنا, meaning deen, our deen. It's not in accordance to our deen. It's not in accordance to our laws and legal ways. فهو رد, أي مردود على صاحبه, meaning it's rejected, meaning it's not accepted. Anybody who does an action claiming to seek nearness to Allah that's not in accordance to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be rejected. So Ibn Kathir, he says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. And for this reason, Allah, he says, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. And then Allah will love you. He says, أَيَّحْصُلُ لَكُمْ فَوْقَ مَا طَلَبْتُمْ مِنْ مَحَبَّتِكُمْ إِيَّاهُ وَهُوَ مَحَبَّتُهُ إِيَّاكُمْ. He said, meaning if you truly do this, if you truly follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam properly, then you will obtain greater than what you're looking for, more than what you claimed. What is the claim? To love Allah. The claim is to love Allah. But if you follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will have greater than what you claim. And that is that Allah will love you. The one who claims that he loves Allah, this is something great. This is something major. No doubt, to love Allah. And the one who truly loves Allah, his life is an amazing life. A life full of joy and happiness and goodness. The one who truly loves Allah. And this is a great favor from Allah. But greater than us loving Allah is that Allah, he loves us. Is that Allah, he loves you. That Allah, he loves me. That's greater than all of that. So this is what will happen for the one who truly follows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, وَهُوَ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ. This is greater than the first one. And the first one is that we claim to love Allah. Greater than that is that Allah loves us. Greater than that is that Allah loves us. He says, كَمَا قَالَ بَعْضُ الْحُكَمَا الْعُلَمَا لَيْسَ شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ إِنَّمَا شَأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ. He said, just as some of the wise scholars have mentioned, the true affair is not that you love, but rather that you are loved. لَيْسَ شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ. That which is really important is not that you love, but what is really and truly important and what really makes a difference is that you are loved. Meaning that Allah, he loves you. So we all claim to love Allah, but does Allah love us? Every believer, he loves Allah, but does Allah love us? Or how much does Allah love us? You understand this affair. So this is greater, that Allah will love us. This is the real affair. And if Allah, he truly loves us, then he will place in our hearts the love for him. And the love of Allah is cultivated again by going back to the first principle, and that is to know Allah. That is to know Allah. And the one who truly knows Allah, the one who truly knows Allah by his beautiful names and attributes of perfection that he has made himself known by way of in his book and in the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will love Allah. He will love Allah. Truly, he will love him by learning about his names and learning about his attributes and learning who he is and learning about his actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, the heart will be full of the love of Allah by the way of a tawheed, the pure and the sincere and the true tawheed. So this is the affair. لَيْسَ شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبْ إِنَّمَا شَأْنُ أَن تُحَبْ. This is from those brief statements likewise. Not from the Quran, not from the Sunnah, but from the statements of the Salaf that one should memorize. It's just a few words. لَيْسَ شَأْنُ أَن تُحِبَّ وَإِنَّمَا شَأْنُ أَن تُحَبَّ. The affair is not that you love, but rather that you are loved. He says, قَالَ الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِي وَغَيْرُهُ مِنَ السَّلَفِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ. الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِي, he died in the year 110. And other than him from the Salaf, may Allah have mercy on them, زَعَمَ قَوْمٌ أَنَّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَابْتَلَاهُمَ اللَّهُ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. There were individuals who were claiming that they love Allah, so therefore Allah, he tried them with this verse. Then he clarified the reason for the revelation of the verse. There were individuals claiming they love Allah, and therefore Allah Azza wa Jalla, he tried them with this verse. فَقَالَ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحِبُّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you truly love Allah, then follow me, and then Allah will love you. So the love of Allah is not just claims. Rather, there's a means to obtain it. There's a means to reach it. And that is to take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model, and to follow him restrictedly, and to leave off the customs and the cultures and the ways of the people that are contrary to his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything from the custom of the peoples, whatever country it may be, whatever masjid it may be, whatever land it may be, whatever race it may be, whatever tribe it may be, if it's contrary to that which is clear from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who truly loves Allah, he will leave it. He will leave it for the sake of Allah. He will turn away from it for the sake of Allah, and he will follow that which he knows from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a test and a trial. Many people, the thing that stops them from reaching the pleasure of Allah and from being steadfast truly upon the deen of Allah and purifying their souls completely, is they will not leave what they found their people upon. They will not leave the ways of their forefathers. They will not leave the customs of their tribe, or the customs of their people, or the customs of their lands, after finding out that it's contrary to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a great trial and test. And a believer, he has to be sincere in his faith. The customs of the people, if it's contrary to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it should be easy for one who believes in Allah and is hoping for the meaning of Allah, he will leave it. He will leave it and turn away from it, regardless of how long he had been upon that way. Whenever the authentic narration comes, whenever the clarification from the sunnah comes, he will prefer that, and he will love that, and he will follow that. He will prefer that, and he will love that, and he will follow that. And this right here is the testification to the true love of Allah, to the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been narrated by Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he's from the Atba'i Tabi'in, he died in the year 198, from the best of the scholars of hadith. He said, rahimahullah, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ هُوَ الْمِيزَانُ الْأَكْبَرُ فَعَلَيْهِ تُعْرَضُ الْأَشْيَاءُ عَلَى خُلُقِهِ وَسِيرَتِهِ وَهَدِيهِ فَمَا وَافَقَهَا فَهُوَ الْحَقُّ وَمَا خَالَفَهَا فَهُوَ الْبَاطِلُ. انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. He says that indeed the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the greatest scale. You need to measure the truth and the falsehood, and who is upon the good way and who is not. All things, yani in life, all things, they are measured and presented to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his manners, upon his biography and his way, and his guidance, and his demeanor, and his conduct sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anything that is in accordance with what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon is the truth, and anything that is contrary to that, it is falsehood. So if a person, he wants to see the reality of individuals and their statements and their creed and their worship and the likes like this, and their adhkar, for example, or their celebrations and the likes, it has to be presented to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scale of this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this will determine the one who is truthful and the one who is upon falsehood, that which is good and that which is foul, by knowing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's very important at this time to realize, in these days especially, the spread of misguidance and the callers to falsehood, and the people of deviation, there are many. And one thing about them is they do not come claiming innovation. Rather, they come claiming the sunnah. Even some of them, they come claiming the salafiyyah. And if you look at them and you weigh them up in the scales of the principles of the salaf, they're the furthest people from salafiyyah. Rather, there are those who are contradicting salafiyyah from its usul, from its foundations. So to be cautious, to be careful of this affair is very, very important, especially in these days when the fitnah and the trials and the people of misguidance are widespread. And the avenues for information to reach us are many. and various and different. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned of this affair. For example, in the hadith which is muttafaqun alayhi, from the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَكْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ انْتِزَاءً يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاء. That indeed Allah, He does not remove the knowledge by stripping it from the people. He does not take the knowledge by stripping it from the people, but rather He takes the knowledge by taking the lives of the scholars, by taking the souls of the scholars. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يُبْقِ عَلِيمًا اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. Until the extent that there will not remain any true person of knowledge. And at this time, the people, they will take as their leaders and as their heads those who are ignorant and have no true knowledge of the law and legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor truly of the way of as-salaf as-salih. And then they will be asked questions about the religion and about the deen, and they will give verdicts, and they will go astray and lead others astray. They will go astray and lead others astray. Shaykh Suleiman al-Ruhaili, Hafidhullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this narration that rather the people, they didn't even wait. The people, they didn't even wait for the scholars to go away. And there's still scholars remaining today, and they're still hastening already. They're still hastening already to get the fatwa, to get the guidance from the people of deviation, the people of falsehood, going to the ignorant people and making them their leaders, putting the people, yani, that it's clear. It's clear from them and their conduct and their manner and their track record. What we've seen from them is foulness. What we've seen from them is evil. What we've seen from them is deception and trickery, especially in da'wah. And they raise them up and they say that he's the sheikh now and he's this and he's that. And they take him as a role model, wali'adhu billah, and he's misguided. And it's clear. Not everybody who ascribes to knowledge or everybody who has been overseas is purified by that knowledge. Rather, some of the people, they have a resemblance to the Jews. And that is that they have knowledge, but they misuse it. And they use that knowledge as a stepping stone to control the people and manipulate them. So this is the case. In these days, we find that many people, they're raising individuals who in reality, they have no right. And they're truly ignorant. Because ignorance is two types, barakallahu fikum. Somebody who doesn't know is considered ignorant. But worse than that, and more severe in ignorance, is somebody who knows and he does not apply the knowledge that he has. Or he uses that knowledge to gain a position or status and rank in the society. This one is أجهل من الأول. أجهل من الأول وأشد جهلا ورياذ بالله. The one who does not know, he doesn't know. He doesn't know, so he's ignorant. But the one who knows, and he has been blessed with this virtuous knowledge, and then he uses it as a stepping stone to manipulate the people and to have position in the likes like this, then he's even more ignorant. He's even more ignorant. For this reason, Al-Imam Al-Ajuri rahimahullah, in his book, Akhlaq Al-Ulama, The Manners of the Scholar, in the end of that work, he has كتاب أخلاق العالم الجاهل المفتتن بعلمه. This is the title of the chapter. أخلاق العالم الجاهل المفتتن بعلمه. The manners of the ignorant scholar, the one who's tried by his knowledge. The manners of the ignorant scholar, the one who's tried by his knowledge. How can somebody be, he's considered عالم جاهل. عالم وجاهل في نفس الأمر. He's عالم جاهل, he's a scholar ignorant. Ignorant scholar, how can that happen? Al-muftatin bi-ilmi, he's tried by his knowledge. Meaning his knowledge, he's become arrogant, he become conceited. He starts using the knowledge to get property or wealth or position or rank and to rule the people and manipulate them and use them in his advantage. Waliyadhu billah. So this is something that we see in these days, especially in the fields of da'wah, waliyadhu billah. Something that has been seen for a long time is becoming clear for many people now. And those who see it, they should recognize it. And know those people and beware of them. Know those people and beware of them. It's been narrated by Tirmidhi from the Hadith of Thawban radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِي أَدَئِمَّا أَنْوَظِلِينَ. That I only truly fear for my ummah the misguided imams. The misguided imams. The imams that are misguided. And there are many of them, and misguided is in many avenues. Imams, people who are taken as sheikhs in the deen or taken as students of knowledge or teachers, and they're misguided. They're deviant. They're calling to Ash'ariyah, or they're calling to negate the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal, or they're calling to these deviant sects, or they're calling to the way of the Khawarij, or they're calling to ISIS, or this other, overthrowing the rulers. All of this is in contradiction to that which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are imams, leaders of misguidance, waliyadhu billah, and there are many of them. And there are many of them. Others, they're calling to the sunnah, apparently, but whenever we look at them in detail and we examine their affair, we find that they're calling to themselves. And they're the ones who are manipulating the Salafis and using them to their advantage, waliyadhu billah. So to be aware of this, maybe a person has knowledge, but if he did not carry it properly, he did not purify his soul with regards to that knowledge will be a means of fitna for him. Al-alim al-jahil al-muftatan bi-ilmihi. العالم الجاهل مفتت بعلمه. يعني a person can be considered a person of knowledge, but at the same time he's ignorant because he's tried by his knowledge, meaning that he did not use the knowledge as a light and a guidance for him and apply it and be humble in application and spreading it to the people where they used it to take position. It has been narrated from Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he died in the year 161, from the greatest of the scholars of hadith. He said a great statement with regards to this affair. Inna akbah al-ragba an tutlab al-dunya bi amal al-akhirah. Inna akbah al-ragba an tutlab al-dunya bi amal al-akhirah. The most disgusting desire, the most filthy thing a person could want in his heart is that he will seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. That he will seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. To seek the worldly life with the deeds of the worldly life is allowed in the limits of Allah. To seek to have a big home, a nice car, a big family, or more than one family, in the limits of Allah. This is allowed for a person to seek a living and to learn a trade, to learn a science, or to learn some type of means of occupation that is lawful, and gain lots of money that is lawful, and have a big family. This is lawful. To seek the dunya by means of the dunya is if it's lawful, it's praiseworthy and lawful and good. But to seek the dunya with the deeds of the hereafter, this is the lowest of the low. This is the lowest of the low. And at the head of that is to use the knowledge. The knowledge that is high and lofty. The knowledge that is revelation from above the heavens. The knowledge of the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The knowledge of that which the Salaf al-Salih were upon. To use that high, lofty knowledge and put it under one's feet and step on it to rule the people, or to have authority over the people, or to manipulate the people. This is the worst. This is the worst of that affair. This is the worst of that affair. So from here we see the ills and the low status of showing off. Showing off in any action of worship. This is what he's talking about here. But my reference is now specifically and he misusing the knowledge which is in worship. And he to get position and rank. So a person, for example, if he's praying, and then he starts showing off in the prayer. He's praying, and then somebody comes in he respects, or he honors, he starts showing, he wants to show, he's showing off in the prayer. And this is something that he's saying is disgusting, because the prayer is from the deeds of the hereafter. And now he's hoping to have some praise in this life from this person, for the deed of the hereafter. This is an example of that. But the reason goes back to Tawheed, to the very first principle. Because the true Tawheed is whenever a person's heart is attached to Allah. He's hoping truly for the reward from Allah. His heart is attached to Allah. He loves Allah. He's performing the Salat, for example, for Allah alone. He's hoping that Allah will accept his Salat. He's hoping that Allah will reward him for his Salat. He's hoping that he will earn the pleasure by way of his Salat. So now whenever the man comes in and he starts showing off, what happens to his heart? Now, instead of hoping for the reward from Allah, he's hoping the man sees him. Because he's hoping the man will praise him. And he's hoping the man will like him. And he's hoping that he will have a position in the heart of that man. So now, instead of hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, having a tawheed al-khalis, which is to make all the hope and the love and the fear and the faith and the reliance in Allah alone, especially at the time of performing the action of worship, now some of that is directed to a man. So this is filthy and lowly. This is filthy and lowly. Rather that hope from that deed has to be for Allah alone. Has to be for Allah alone. If that's the case with Salat, if that's the case with the actions of worship, how about knowledge? Those who carry the deen, those who carry the knowledge of the deen, it has to be for the sake of Allah. These people, there are few. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. And from those who are truthful in carrying knowledge, and those who are truthful in learning knowledge. And that will be by sincerely applying that and being humble in carrying that. And being humble in carrying that. So this affair here with regards to learning and seeking knowledge, it has to be from at the hands of the people who what is known from them is good. And all of the people, they're sinners, and all the people have mistakes and errors. But those who are truthful, Allah covers their faults. And all of us make mistakes. But the one whom his mistakes are few, and the benefit and the good that he brings to the people is a lot, then those small slips and errors are drowned out in his virtue. But as for those who have many mistakes and many problems and many issues and a little bit of good with them, then that good is drowned out in their problems and in their issues and their trials that they carry with them. So therefore, to measure the people like this and to look to where a person takes knowledge from, because this is very, very important. A person must know where he's learning from and who is taking as his role models. And we have people on the internet today and they're teachers and they look like laymen and they act like laymen. and they're talking about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you find people learning from them and acting like them. Wallahi, the scholars, they don't act like many of these people. Wallahi, the scholars, they don't act like many of these people who are on YouTube. You find them dignified. You find them honorable. You find them moving in a noble manner. You find them having speech that is beneficial and is good. And you never expect any harm to come from them. And this is contrary to what we see from many of these YouTubers and these sudden scholars and sheikhs that came out of nowhere. That came out of nowhere. So to be careful about this affair, yani, is very important, because they're in reality and contrary to the sunnah. And there's no purification except in following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except in following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, with regards to this, and he's referring here to the people of innovation that are clear. The people of innovation that are clear, like the Sufiya and the Khawarij, so on and so forth, especially the Sufiya, those who have gone to extremes. He says, وَتَسْكِيَةُ النُّفُوسِ أَصْعَبُ مِنْ إِلَاجِ الْأَبْدَانِ وَأَشَدْ. And purifying the souls is harder and more severe than purifying than treating the bodies. Purifying the souls is harder and more severe than treating the bodies. فَمَنْ زَكَّ نَفْسَهُ بِالرِّيَاضَةِ وَالْمُجَاهَدَةِ وَالْخَلْوَةِ الَّتِي لَمْ يَجِئْ بِهَا الرُّسُلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَهُوَ كَالْمَرِيضِ الَّذِي يُعَالِجُ نَفْسَهُ بِرَأِيهِ دُونَ مَعْرِفَةِ الطَّبِيبِ. So therefore, the one who tries to purify his soul, yani by this striving and this effort and being alone in a manner that is not from the way of the messengers, that did not come from the messengers, عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, then he's like a sick person trying to treat himself and his disease with his own opinion without any knowledge of a doctor. Without any knowledge of a doctor. فَالرُّسُلُ أَطِبَّاءُ الْقُلُوبِ فَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى الصَّلَاحِهَا وَتَسْكِيَتِهَا إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمْ. So the messengers, عليهم الصلاة والسلام, they are the doctors of the heart. They are the doctors of the heart. And there is no way to rectify the hearts nor to purify them except at the hands of the messengers, عليهم الصلاة والسلام. وَبِمَحْضِ الْإِنْقِيَادِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ لَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. And by completely and purely surrendering and submitting yani to the law that has come with the messengers alayhi musallatu wasalam, wallahu musta'an, and informing the people that you cannot follow your desires, you cannot follow your whims, you cannot follow these mashaykh, the sufiya and the likes like this, who do not follow the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They're on another way. They base their religion on dreams, or they base their religion on what they think is good, and the likes like this, like the sufiya and the rafida, the shia, waliyadu billah. They have a religion that is made up with no evidence and no proof. To learn from them and to treat your soul in that manner is like a person who's sick trying to treat himself with his own opinion. He has no knowledge about medication. He has no knowledge about medication. Many times this type of individual will harm himself before he heals himself. So likewise, seeking knowledge at the hands of the wrong people and learning from the people who are not qualified. This is going to bring more harm than it's going to bring good. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, وَلِهَذَا وَجَبَ عَلَى مَنْ أَرَادَ تَسْكِيَةَ نَفْسِهِ أَنْ يُجَاهِدَ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْإِتِّبَاعِ وَالْإِقْتِدَاءِ وَالتَّأَسِّي بِالرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْحَذَرُ مِنْ الْمُحْدَثَاتِ وَالْمُخْتَرَعَاتِ وَالطَّرَائِقِ الْمُبْتَدَعَاتِ الَّتِي يَدَّعِي أَرْبَابُهَا أَنَّهَا تُزَكِّي النُّفُوسِ. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, that so therefore, because of this, yani it's an obligation for the one who intends to purify his soul that he should strive against his soul to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow him and to take him as a role model and an example absolutely, and to be cautious and beware from the newly invented affairs and the innovated ways of those people who claim that they purify the soul. And the Sufiya especially, they're very famous for claiming to have ways and means to purify the soul and to worship Allah and draw near to Him. That are innovative, and they have no evidence nor any proof. They have no evidence nor any proof. So a person, he must learn from the people of the Sunnah, those who are known to have the proper creed, the proper belief, and to be upon the proper methodology, and also known for their noble manners and conduct. In this manner, a person, he can benefit. If he finds a teacher like this, someone to benefit him in this manner, who is known in this manner to be from the people of the Sunnah, and he's well-mannered, and the knowledge that he speaks about is seen in his conduct, is seen in his actions, then this type of person here will bring much benefit. And a person, he should hold fast to the likes of that, to have good companions, companions that have knowledge, and that knowledge is seen in their speech and their conduct and in their action. We move to the fifth principle. Al-Qa'ida, Al-Khamis. We have to be patient. The seminar is intensive. Al-Dawra, Al-Mukathafa. So we want to be able to finish. We finish this brief fifth principle, inshaAllah. Al-Qa'ida, Al-Khamisa. Al-Tazkiyatu, Takhliyatun, wa Tahdiyah. The fifth principle is that purification is to remove the filth and then to adorn oneself with the good and the noble creed, belief, and deen. And that's the meaning of it. Takhliyah, it really means to empty out, to clean out. And that tahdiyah, to adorn oneself and to beautify oneself with the goodness. To adorn oneself and to beautify oneself with the goodness. As Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he had a call likewise that was similar to this. What was it? At-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. It's the same idea. It's the same concept. At-tasfiyah wa tarbiyah. At-takhliyah wa tahdiyah. At-tasfiyah means to purify. Means to purify the creed, first and foremost. To purify the worship. To purify the creed. To purify the worship. To purify the manners and the conduct. And the person's demeanor. To purify all of that. To remove the filth and the misconceptions. And the misunderstandings. The innovations. And the lowly ways. To get rid of all of that. And then to cultivate oneself upon the correct path. Upon the good manners. Upon the correct aqidah. The proper deen. The proper tawheed. The proper understanding. The proper worship, the correct understanding of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the noble and the lofty manners. And the noble and the lofty manners. So this is the fifth principle. In order to purify the soul, we have to first get rid of all of this filth. Get rid of all of the misunderstandings and the misconceptions and the innovations and the doubts and the likes like this by having certain knowledge. Certain and true knowledge of a tawheed and the proper aqidah, the proper belief, aqidah to salaf al-salih. And with detail. With detail to remove all those doubts. To remove all those misconceptions. And likewise to purify the soul by removing all the foul intentions and the desires that are impermissible. By lusting and wanting for things that are displeasing to Allah. Person has to purify his heart from that. From wanting things that are displeasing to Allah. Like zina, for example. This is displeasing to Allah. Some people, they want that. Alcohol or drugs or money sometimes that's unlawful and the means to get it. He'll love it so much. He wants it. He wants it. He has to purify his heart from that. We cannot want something that Allah does not love. The heart must be purified from that. The heart must be purified from that. If that comes in the heart, one will check that and purify that. And this is what is being talked about now. This is the discussion. At-takhliyah wa tahdiyah. To cleanse out and to remove all of the falsehood and evil, and then to adorn oneself and cultivate one's soul upon the proper and the good path. Upon the proper and the good path. So Allah has referred to this in His book, and in Surah At-Tawbah, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Allah, He says, take from their wealth, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a charity, meaning an obligatory zakat. But what does it do? What does this obligatory zakat do? تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. It will purify them. التَطْهِيرُ أَوَّلًا وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. And it will cultivate them and raise them. And we have seen that at Tazkiyah, it has those two meanings. Tazkiyah, it has the meaning of purification and it has the meaning of cultivation. So true tazkiyah, the purification can never occur except by purifying the soul and then cultivating upon goodness. So what we've seen in the beginning, the crops, for example, zaka azar, idha nama, wa kathara, the crops, it grew and it flourished. But the crops, they'll never flourish and grow until removing the filth. And likewise, the zakat of the wealth. The wealth, person's wealth, will never truly grow and flourish and become good until he purifies it by giving the zakat. So by giving the zakat, it purifies the wealth, and now the wealth is able to grow. Just like the crops, whenever the weeds are removed and the foul or the bad soil is removed, now the crops, they can flourish and they can grow. So like this, the soul as well. The soul is held down by sins, by disobedience, by misunderstandings, by shubuhat. And by shahwat, it becomes weighed down. The heart becomes heavy, it becomes black. And the likes like this. So in order to purify the soul, and to purify the heart, we have to remove all of these affairs first. And then after that, bring in the goodness and cultivate oneself upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a narration that is very important with regards to this issue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إن العبد إذا أخطأ خطيئة تكتب في قلبه نقطة سوداء. That indeed a person, if he commits a sin, then a black spot will be written on his heart. Then a black spot will be written on his heart. A person, whenever he commits a sin, this is what occurs to the heart. A black spot will be written on the heart. And it will come to his heart. A black spot will come to his heart. فَإِذَا هُوَ نَزَأَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ وَتَابْ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ. But if he stops and he leaves the sin and he seeks forgiveness and he repents to Allah, then his heart will be purified. His heart will be purified. When عَادَ زِيدَ فِيهَا حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ. But if he returns back to the sin and he continuing without repentance, then that black spot would increase until it overcomes his heart. Until it overcomes his heart. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُوَ الرَّانَ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى كُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And this is the ran. This is the stain. This is the stain that comes to the heart that Allah, he mentioned in his book. Rather, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى كُلُوبِهِمْ. Rather, it's the stain, meaning the blackness that's on their hearts from that which they used to earn. From that which they used to earn. So therefore, the evil deeds, the actions of disobedience, they have a great effect on the person's heart. They taint the soul. And likewise, they weaken the shahada. The sins, the actions of disobedience, they taint the soul and they weaken the shahada. A person, his shahada, the shahada with Allah Azza wa Jal, is heavy in the scales. The shahada, the origin, the shahada, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, each one of us, we have a shahada with Allah. You have a shahada, I have a shahada, alhamdulillah. But not everybody's shahada weighs the same with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this goes back to the love of Allah and the perfection of it, tawheed, and fulfilling those rights. So some people, their shahada is heavy with Allah Azza wa Jal. Alladhinahum bishahadatihim qa'imun. Those who are standing firm with their shahadat. And the first shahada is the testification that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're establishing that in their life. They love the shahada. They know the shahada, what it means and what it requires, and they strive against their soul to implement that and to stand firm with that, and they prefer that over their desires and what the people are upon. And they're truthful in their love for Allah Azza wa Jal. They're truthful in their love for Allah Azza wa Jal. Their shahada qa'ima, their testification of faith is established, it's upright. It's upright and it's heavy in the scale and very beneficial for them in this life and the hereafter. But those whom their shahada is light, they have the shahada but it's light. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that some of them, shahadatuhum qa'ima wa ba'duhum ma'ila. Some people, their shahada is upright like this, and other people, their shahada is leaning over like this. It's about to fall. And other people, their shahada is flat and finished. And this is the case. So we have to be cautious about this affair. The sins, they have an effect on your shahada. The sins, they have an effect on your shahada. The sins, they have effect on your heart. The sins, they have effect on your soul. The sins, they have effect on your tawheed, on the effect on your iman, on your taqwa, on your deen. On your deen. If the black continues, it will cover the heart. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And if a person continues, the heart can be locked. The blackness on the heart prohibits the light of iman from reaching. It prohibits a person from being able to benefit from the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It can come to the extent that every verse could be put in front of his face and every truth can be clarified eloquently to him and he will not understand. He will not understand. It can come to the extent that a person, he will start to dislike the truth and love falsehood. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. He will not be able to determine nor differentiate. He will have no criteria, no furqan, because his heart becomes black. His heart becomes filthy with disobedience. And eventually it can be locked and no light can come in. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the sins, they have a major effect. The sins, they have a major effect. In order to truly purify the soul, we have to leave off the sins. We have to strive against our souls in public and in private with the believers. And not only wherever we are at, in a home, in the masjid, in school, in the occupation, wherever we're at, to obey Allah Azza wa Jal and to leave off the prohibitions and avoid that which will earn the anger of Allah and to seek the help and the aid of Allah in doing this. To seek the help and the aid of Allah in doing this. You can never obey Allah except if Allah allows you and helps you. That's why we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we obey. Absolutely. And surrender and submission and compliance with love and hope and faith and trust and reliance. And you alone do we seek aid and help. Meaning we cannot do that if you do not help us. One, if he's sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will help him to leave the sins. But sometimes there's a test and a trial. So the methodology for a believer is that regardless of what happens, he will continue to repent. Sometimes a person, his soul will get the best of him. He'll be overcome by his desires and his whims, and he'll disobey Allah while he knows. He'll disobey Allah while he knows. Maybe he'll fight himself, and then his soul will get the best of him, and he'll disobey Allah with his eyes, with his tongue, with his hands, and his wealth, and his property, and the likes like this, however it may occur. But a believer, he will realize after shaitan leaves him and after his desires calm down, he will taste the bitterness of that action. And he will remember the greatness of Allah and the favor of Allah. And he will remember likewise that he disobeyed Allah with the blessings of Allah. So he'll be shy and he'll have remorse in his heart and he will feel bad and he'll repent to Allah. And the one who does this, then Allah will forgive him. Suqila qalbu. Suqila qalbu. So even if he committed the same sin tomorrow, he'll do the same thing like he did yesterday. Whenever he comes back to his senses, and whenever he realizes that he's a slave and he has a Lord and he's returning to Allah, he'll repent. He'll repent. So sometimes we're tried with sins. But we should never delay repentance. As soon as we remember, we realize that we did the wrong thing, that we disobeyed our Lord, that we violated the commandments, we return to Allah Azza wa Jal and we ask Him to forgive us. And whoever works in this manner, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, and he's truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah will take his soul in the time that he has repented. As for the one who delays, and the one who just waits, he doesn't have any concern. He disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal, and he doesn't even repent. Or even shaitan will play him. And he'll be like, oh, you're going to do it tomorrow. Wait till tomorrow and repent. Oh, tomorrow's Friday, Saturday night. No, you know you're going to do the same sin tomorrow. Why don't you wait till Sunday to repent? La, you might not make it till Sunday. So repent at that moment. Keep over and over and over and over, and he's striving. Because some people, they say, oh, you're a hypocrite. You don't need to repent. You're no good. Like this, shaitan will play like that likewise. No, you're going to do it again anyways. Why are you repenting? No, you be sincere. You have remorse. You know your Lord. You disobeyed Him. You repent to Allah. You strive to leave it again. You take the means to leave the sin. From the means of leaving the sin is to not go to the same places, to not go around the same people. We cannot go to the same places and be around the same people and expect to do different things. You understand that? Somebody, for example, he has a problem sinning in this particular sin, but that sin only occurs in one particular place. So if we keep going there, we're not going to stop the sin. You have to stop going to that place. If a person, he has a particular sin, and it only occurs with certain people, then he can't keep going to those people and expect to leave the sin. He has to leave those people. So you have to leave the people of sin and leave the places of sin. There's a proof for this. Who knows? Ahsanta, the man who killed 99 people. There's the story of the man who killed 99 people. And whenever he was given the proper fatwa, whenever he's given the proper guidance, it was told to him, in this land, they're evil people. Leave this land with evil people in it and go to the land where there's righteous people. And he said, is there any hope for me in repentance? He said, yes. Allah, He forgives all sins, but you have to leave this land with evil people and go to the land of righteous people. In this manner, he was forgiven. So this is from the means of sincere repentance, of taking that path, and of taking that path to leaving the sin by stop going around those people, stop going to those places. And for example, sometimes maybe a person is tried with sins in private sins. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the private sins are very dangerous, because a person, he doesn't do the sins in public because he knows the people can see him. But in private, he does them as if Allah cannot see him. Allah, He can see him when he's with the people and whenever he's alone. So the Salaf, they used to say, إِحْرِسْ أَن تَكُونَ خَلَوَاتُكَ أَصْلَحَ مِنْ جَلَوَاتِكَ. That you should strive to make sure the times that you are alone are more pious and righteous than the times whenever you're with the people. And it's to rectify yourself between you and Allah alone. And inshallah, after that, likewise, Allah will rectify your situation with the people. So if a person, he's tried with private sins, then he has to stop going to those private places. For example, he's tried with private sins with his phone, right? So then he needs to do something about the phone. Maybe he needs to, at nighttime, turn the phone off and leave it in another room. Or he needs to get a roommate If he's trying with sins, for example, by himself, and he's living by himself, then he needs to get a roommate, or he needs to stay with a brother, or go stay with his family. He needs to get himself out of that situation where that sin keeps recurring over and over and over. That's my point. That's my point. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to purify our souls and to cultivate us upon the correct creed and the correct belief, and to grant us beneficial knowledge and the ability to apply that in a manner pleasing to Him. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.